de dónde está. Okay. So we learned in the last time, we almost finished. Let's just do the last final paragraph. We spoke about the topic of Seder. Kichlos HaKol, as we conclude this topic, Harei kol echad ve'echad omed mispar pa'amim b'chayav lifnei achroot gedolot v'goraliyot asher behen mitgaleh ha-seder ha-tzmi b'malach chayav. Every person will have many opportunities in life where he'll be standing before a situation where he's going to have to make a crucial decision. And at that moment when he has to make a crucial decision, that's where the order that a person has, his inner order that he has, is going to express itself. In other words, order does not express itself when you're just following an external structure. The real order expresses itself when you're put to a test, when you're put to a challenge. Like when something like Corona, a leader could be a leader. It doesn't have to be such a great leader because nothing's happening. So you just like kind of make up plans and programs. But then suddenly something major like a war or Corona comes along. In this very country, there was once a leader who was a fine leader. And then a war broke out. And then they weren't able to function and they stepped down and someone else took over. Because they realized that they didn't have what it took to fight a war. And another person was going to be a leader, like was rising the ranks. And another leader said about them, they're going to tackle Iran? Like everyone laughed because yes, they're very sweet talking. But like actually when you face a real enemy, like what are they going to do then? When a person has real order in their lives, then even when everything is haywire and everything is hectic, they're able to continue in their path. Maybe changing the externals, but they are able to function. Oy lo la mi shegolesh letoch achraat elu keiver ba'afela. And woe betide the one who rolls into major decisions without having the inner ability to make decisions with a sense of order in their lives. Rather, they just kind of do whatever comes to us. It's such an interesting thing. In England, they just changed the law. It used to be in England that if you wanted to donate organs, then you had to sign, check a box that you wish to donate organs. And very, very few people were signing up. And they changed the law around where automatically you donate your organs. And if you don't wish to, you have to sign that you don't. And suddenly, boom, tens and tens of percent of people more. I don't know exactly the number, someone knows, you're welcome to tell me. But it's something like under 10% and now over 80%. Right? It's crazy. What happens? Does that mean that like roughly 70% of people just don't care about the topic at all? Right? They just don't have the effort of check the box. There's no effort. Like what's going on? Why is so many people? If they have a view on it, they have a view. But the truth is that when you have these major life altering decisions, or death altering decisions, like major moral decisions they make, then most people just don't have a clue about how to address the whole issue. So they just say, what's the default? Not that they don't care about it. They do care about it, but they don't have enough order in their inner world to handle and tackle the issue. So they just say, whatever the default is, I'll go with that. So unless you have a strong view about it, you'll make a decision and go with it. Woe betide the one who his whole life, he decides on, I just, whatever happened, whatever the default was in every situation, I just went along with that flow. Woe betide such a person, because they're not living their life. Their life is being lived out by others. People who are more persuasive are causing them to do whatever those persuasive people want them to do, and they're not necessarily making a decision which is best for them. And that especially comes when there's a decision to make. And they don't have a way of making a decision, so they just look for the easy way out or the default option. Woe betide such a person. We're looking for order in one's mind as well. Ashrei ha-yodea lishmor al ritzifut ha-hitnagut va-avodato. How fortunate is someone who's identified his inner values, and therefore, even when everything around him is changing, he's able to keep up his values, even if the externalities change, even if the details change, but his value system does not change. And he's able to keep going even through that challenging time. And then when he looks back at his life and he sees this period and that period and that period, he's able to see a flow of my principles held me strong all the way through. Maybe external things change, but I'm the same person through all those different eras. Like we quoted Yosef yesterday. Hashem is with him from the beginning to the end, because he's thinking of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and how to serve Hashem faithfully from the end. That's the end of the topic of order. New topic of Birkas HaTorah. The Gemara in Nedarim, this is often quoted around Tisha B'Av time, this section. The Gemara in Nedarim writes, who is the one who is wise and understands the matter of why the land was destroyed? They asked the Chachamim, they didn't know. They asked the Nevi, and they didn't know. Until eventually they came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said, Hashem, why was the land destroyed? Why was Eretz Yisrael? Why was there a Chorban? And Hashem answered, they abandoned my Torah. They didn't listen to my word. They didn't follow in my word. Rav Yehuda said, what is the meaning of that? Surely it's saying the same thing three times. He answers, what it's referring to is they didn't make the Birkas HaTorah, they didn't make the Brocha of Asher B'charbanu before learning Torah. And the Ran there quotes Rabbeinu Yonah and says, Kra Dayik Te'im Eita Al Azvam Et Torati Kepashta. If it's literal that they abandoned Torah, they were not learning Torah, V'lo Hayu Oskimba, then when they asked the Chachamim, when they asked the Nevi'im, wouldn't they have picked that up? If the Jewish people were not learning Torah, how could they be? They asked the Chachamim, and the Chachamim, I have no idea why Hashem bore the Chorban. What do you mean you have no idea? They weren't learning Torah. Your whole bris of Torah, they weren't keeping. So it must be they were learning Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say that I understood they weren't making the brach on Torah. Now it could be that technically they were making the brach on Torah, but Hashem identified that wasn't considered making the brach on Torah. It obviously means something much deeper than just the technical, there was one particular mitzvah. There's even a question if Birkas HaTorah is Darabanan or Daraisa. I mean, it's not such a like crucial crux of a matter that that's what they weren't doing, and that was justified destroying the entire Beis HaMikdash, throwing the Jews out of Eretz Yisrael. So it must mean something much deeper than just they weren't making the bracha of Birkas HaTorah. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, Lo hayita Torah chashuva b'enehem ad she'ro'ui levarech aleha. It's not they weren't making a bracha. It's that their value system had dropped. Where even if they were learning Torah, they didn't believe in the great value of learning Torah, that it would justify them blessing it. What a blessing we have in our lives that we get to learn Torah. If you have to learn, you have to learn. You have to wear tefillin. You wear tefillin. You have to wear tzitzis. I put on tzitzis. You have to learn Torah. I learn Torah. Is it a blessing? A blessing? I don't know if it's a blessing. If you ask me, if I wake up not Jewish tomorrow, I wouldn't complain. I'd be able to do whatever I want. I'm not sure it's a blessing. It's a tax I have to pay because I'm Jewish. A blessing? I'm not sure. They didn't see it as a blessing. They saw it as something which was an obligation. They didn't see it as a blessing. Shelo hayu oskim bo lishma. U'metoch kach hayu mezalzelin bebirchata. And that's what it means. They weren't following in the ways of the Torah, concludes Rabbeinu Yonah, the kavanah ulishma. So we're not talking here about the technical mitzvah, were they keeping or weren't they keeping. We're talking about an entire perspective, an entire worldview. What was the way that the Jews viewed Hashem's Torah being given to them? Was it something which was a crucial point of their relationship with Hashem, or a zilzul? And still says the Alei Shor, we need more interpretation, more explanation. Still doesn't explain to us fully why that justified destroying all of Eretz Yisrael. So he goes on to quote the Bach. And this Bach is found on the Tor, on Oroch Chaim, Simon Mem Zayin, which is the Simon which speaks about Birkas HaTorah. Eika Litzimua Tova, just in brackets. It's really sad that when you learn Rabbonus, so you learn all of the Torah, and you learn all of the Beis Yosef, and you learn all the Shulchan Aruch, and you learn all the Shachar, all the Taz, and the Magen Avram, depending on where it is, and you learn all the Pesachei Tshuva, the Bach isn't usually learned. The only time you learn the Bach is if you see that the Magen Avram or someone referred to him, and you just want to see what he said inside, and he's on the page on all of the Shulchan Aruch, all of the Torah. But for some reason, he didn't make it that he's part of the standard order of learning. So now that we get to learn him, we get to give him a little Hakara Satov to recognize the good that he's done for us. I feel excited about it. So we have this great question: Litzmua Tova, Lama Yatza Kazot Milifanav? Why did Hashem decide to punish the Jewish people with such a terrible punishment just for the fact that they weren't making a bracha on Torah? Shu Lechora Avera Kala. Same question as Doran. It seems like it's a light avera they were doing. Explains the Bach. It would seem that what Hashem meant was the following: when we learn Torah, Nie oskim b'Torah kadei shetitatzem nishmateinu ba'atzmut v'ruchaniyut v'kedushat mekor motza haTorah. And this is taking what the Ran said, the Rebbeinu said a step further. What really are you doing when you learn Torah? What is the goal of learning Torah? Why are we learning? The learning of Torah strengthens our soul in its connection to Hashem by our soul returning to its roots, the source of where it comes from. And the words of the Torah empower us to be a more spiritual being, more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the source of what our essence is. V'lechein natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torahs emes li'Yisrael b'matana. And therefore Hashem gave us the Torah as the gift. That we'll never forget. In order that our souls, and with that also our bodies, will attach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all of the mitzvahs, a positive and all the negative mitzvahs. And if we learn Torah with this in mindset, meaning, if our goal behind learning Torah is that we're connecting to Hashem, if that's our understanding, the reason why I'm learning is because this Torah is empowering my spiritual side, that's bringing me close to Hashem, then we become what the Kabbalists call the Merkava L'Shechina. We become the place where Hashem dwells in the world. And that's the Jewish people's role. And the reason why we came into this world was to give Hashem a home, to give Hashem a place. There will be a presence of Hashem in this world that exists in the Beit HaMikdash, physically, and it exists through the nation of the Jewish people through their learning of Torah. That's why we're here, that's our role. If you're given a particular job because you work for a company and you understand what is my role in this company, the only reason you're in that company is to do that particular job. And therefore you do that particular job faithfully because that's why you were hired. The Jewish people were hired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do a particular role, to be a Merkava L'Shechina, to be representing Hashem in this world. And we do that through our learning of Torah. That's what brings the spirituality down. As we learn Torah, we bring Hashem's existence into this world. He exists above this world, beyond this world. Only through us did He choose to be present in this world. Of course, He could be present in this world without us as well. He could if He wanted to. But He chose to only be present in this world through the Jewish people. And as we follow His will and keep His Torah, there's more of His presence in the world. And if Chas v'Shalom we abandon the Torah, then Hashem distances from the world. He made it totally dependent on us. We are the key. We have the code. We have the password to determine how much Hashem is in this world. And in that way, we're creative. Because we create how much Hashem is in this world. Let me say that more accurately. In that way, we're a partner with Hashem. He's made us a partner with Him because He gave us the ability to decide. If you have a company and you have a partner in the company, then he gets to make major decisions on what that company is doing. Hashem made us a partner with Him. So we get to make the decision, is Hashem in this world or not? And how we learn Torah, how we fulfill mitzvahs, determines how much of Hashem. It's a tremendous responsibility on our shoulders. In the same way as you will be a parent, and you will realize that how you speak to your child, whether you build him or whether you crush him, will determine his whole future and how much money you may have to spend on psychologists in the future if you do it wrong. You get to determine that as a parent because you're building the child or destroying him. So Hashem made you, in a sense, the parent of the world in how much Hashem there is in the world. You get to determine through your building or through your destroying how much presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists in this world. That's what the Bach is teaching us. If we learn Torah with this mindset that we're bringing Hashem into the world, we become the Merkava v'Heichal Shechinato Yitbarach. Shaita Shechina Mamash Bekirbam. Ki Heichal Hashem Eima. We are the Heichal. We are the Beis HaMikdash now. The only Beis HaMikdash now. We are the way that Hashem is present in the world. Sometimes it's obvious. Meaning you're learning about matters which are to do with Hashem. And sometimes it's not obvious. When you're learning about matters which seem to have nothing to do with Hashem, and you're learning Bava Basra, and you're learning about land law, and who gets to keep which part of the land, and you don't see Hashem there, but you're learning God's wisdom and how it's expressed in the world. You're bringing Hashem into this world. That's the expression of the Kedusha, the Shechina. The Shechina is a way of calling Hashem when He's present here in this world, as opposed to Hashem when He's Kadosh, where He's above the world, this kind of note. Kedusha is separate, Prushim, and Shechina is where Hashem is recognizable and present in the world. We're expressing Hashem's Shechina here in this world. Uvezeh yiyeh kishur lepalmalia shalmala im palmalia shalmata v'haya lemishkan echad. And that way, Hashem's presence, which is currently recognized by the angels, which is known as the palmalia shalmala, the higher host, find a better word for that, but the higher, if you have a better word for Palmania, you're able to help me out. But the higher recognition of Hashem, the orchestra, the host, which is recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the higher world, joins together with the lower world. And that's essentially what we do when we say Kedusha every day. When we say Kedusha, we're saying the same words as the angels, in the same way as the angels are currently recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the higher worlds. Through our saying Kadosh, 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 Baruch Shem, we're declaring Hashem in this world. Us and the angels together are recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kolomar, what this means, that was the words of the Bach. Now the Alishar explains that a little bit. Kolomar, Olam ha'elyon ha'ruchani, va'olameinu anu, ze, olam ha'maaseh, יהיו מתחברים זה עם זה עד שיהיו ממש לעולם אחד, we become one. A little bit like if you have two people who have very different strengths. One person's strength is that he's very, he's a great planner, he's able to put things into action, but he's not so creative. But when he's given a mission, he's able to act it out very well. And another person who's extremely creative, tremendous ideas, able to think of amazing concepts. But when it gets down to the practical parts of it, he's a hopeless. But when you put those two people together, they're able to bring something out tremendously. So are they together or not together? Well, they're very, very different. They have absolutely opposing strengths. But when they team up together, then they're able to bring out in the world something valuable. So us and the angels are very, very different. We're extremely different, living in different worlds. But when we have the same goal of declaring Kedusha of Hashem, although we do it in very different ways because we're coming from different angles, but we're able to have a full expression of Hashem being recognized throughout the world. The angels from their perspective, us from our perspective. If you like, in that mission, the angels are more the programmed one, the ones who are logical more. They're able to just do what they're told to do, and we're more creative. We get to think about how to do it, and we get to choose whether we wish to do it, and we join together in declaring Hashem. Chazal say that the angels can't declare Kedusha until we've declared Kedusha, because they're just programmed. When we declare Kedusha, when we say, then they are able to up there in Shemayim. It's as if we've given them permission to. Because they can't by themselves. They can't create. They can just active on what they've been pressed to do. And we, by saying Kedusha and recognizing Hashem in this world, we get to activate them. Aval Ata, this is the continuation now of the Bach. But now, in our times, Shavru Chokze, also in our time, but he's talking about also in the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that we did not fulfill this expectation. Shelo asku b'Torah, kiim letzorach devarim gashmiim. We were learning Torah, but what for? For practical things, for relevant things of like how to run a society in a practical way, in a useful manner, but not that it was for the mindset of bringing Hashem into this world. Leida dinim letzorach masa v'matan. They just wanted to know, Rabbi, I want to do a business deal. I heard there's a thing of ribbis. How do I work it out? How much is considered overcharging? But they were asking halacha, and they were keeping halacha, but there was no God in it. God wasn't a relevant aspect. V'gam lehitzga'ot, and sometimes they did it just to show off, to make themselves look like they were clever. V'lo nitkavnu lehitatzem ulehitadabek v'kedusha uveruchnis haTorah. They had no intent. Well, that wasn't their intent, where they wished to strengthen themselves, to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring Hashem down into the world, to have Torah express the ruchnis aspect of them. That wasn't their goal. They created Peirud. Now, Peirud is a very scary word. Our role as Jews is Achdut. Our motto is Hashem Echad. Our goal in the world is showing how everything is part of Hashem. That's our mission. When we spoke before about our mission being bring Shechina into the world, the way we do that is through oneness. By seeing how all separate things in the world which seem disconnected are all expressions of Hashem. And as we recognize how all different forces outside of us all emanate from Hashem, and also different forces within us, all the different kochos that put us in different manners, let's just to give a very simple one, the Yetzer Tov is Tov, and the Yetzer Tov Ra is Tov Me'od. We even see that as a force given to us by Hashem with a mission, with a purpose, with a positive intent that it has, which ultimately will enable us to serve Hashem greater. We take all the kochos in the world, internal, external, positive and negative, and we show how they're all part of Hashem. And that's how we declare Hashem Shechina in the world, by ma'ached everything, showing how everything emanates from Hashem. Everything has a positive intent, created by Hashem, for the purpose of coming to recognize Hashem. That's our goal. That's our role in the world. Achdut. Recognizing the Achdut of Hashem. Our enemy is Peirud, when things are divided, where he doesn't get along with him. You know, Chazal say an amazing thing. They say that there were two kings. There was a king who was a tzaddik, and he wasn't able to build new towns in Eretz Yisrael. And there was a king who was a rasha. He was able to build new towns in Eretz Yisrael. And Chazal asked, why was a king who was a rasha able to build new towns in Eretz Yisrael? And they say, because the king who was a tzaddik in his time, the Jews spoke Lashon Hara about one another. He was a tzaddik, but there was friction and peirud amongst the Jewish nation. But the king who was a rasha, even though he was a rasha, and there was avodah zorah in the world at that time, but the Jews got along well.
And they didn't speak Lashon Hara. So you see that more of a value for Hashem than following Hashem is our Achdut. Because if we follow Hashem or don't follow Hashem, that means we understand or don't understand. But if we have Achdut, that means we're living Hashem in the world. We're expressing it. That's why the Tower of Babel was so scary. Because there was an absolute Achdut. And they had Koach, they had spiritual Koach. And they were able to do terrible things. And therefore Hashem had to cause Perud. Because they were using the Achdut against Hashem. The Perud is our enemy, it's our ultimate enemy. Amalek is our enemy. And in deeper sources, they say that Amalek is the force that separates between the mind and the heart. Koach HaPerud. He divides up between us and others. That's why Amalek is the gematria of Safek. Because what is a Safek? Maybe this, maybe that. Not sure. Dividing. Maybe this, maybe that. It causes a divide. And that causes us not to be able to decide and recognize the oneness of Hashem in this world. Oneness is clarity. Everything ultimately stems from the same place. Absolute clarity. Safek is maybe from there, maybe from there. I'm not sure. Amalek put that in us. They're our enemy. That's the Perud. When we learn Torah with the recognition that Torah is bringing the oneness of Hashem into the world, we're fulfilling our mission. B'zeh asu Perud. And when we don't learn Torah with that mindset, when we learn Torah with other goals, then we're not doing it for Hashem. It's not for the one source. And that causes Perud. And that caused us to be Perud, to be spread out throughout the entire world. The Galut took place as a result of that. Shnistakra Shechina min Aretz. Hashem is able to dwell on us when we get along. Hashem is not, He chooses not to dwell on us and not to be present in this world when we fight amongst us. When we are one, then Hashem's oneness can be expressed. When we are divided, Hashem chooses not to be. A little bit like if you have a puzzle of pieces, like blocks, a block puzzle, and you have a frame that fits on top. So if the pieces are all in their place and they fit together, then the lid, the frame can fit perfectly on it. But if the pieces are separate, they're divided, then the frame won't be able to fit. Hashem chose to make the world in such a way that only when the Jewish people are united and we're all our pieces fit together. Now, didn't say we have to be the same. Didn't say that anywhere. You can have your piece and shape your way and my piece shape my way. That's fine. But the pieces all are able to come together, then the frame, the structure can come down. Hashem's Shechina can dwell on us. We can be 12 different Shvatim. We can have different Nusach HaTfilah. That's fine. We can all have our own path, our own Minahag, and there's no issue with that. But we respect each other, then Hashem's Shechina can come down. Otherwise, the Shechina, he says, I can't dwell here. I can't dwell. All the pieces are separate. My frame doesn't fit. All the pieces are separate from one another. And therefore, Hashem's Shechina leaves the world. Ve'alta lamala. So what's left in the world? Perut. What's left in the world are bodies without the soul. There's a division. V'zeh haya gorem chorban va'avedata. And that was what the cause of the chorban was. We are still in the middle of reading the Bach. We have one more paragraph in the Bach, and then the Ali Shor has one more paragraph where he summarizes the message to take from it. And that Be'ez Hashem will do next time. Achdus.